not much of a fight song, Greg. I don't think there's...
Kind of wimpy and wobbly.
It is time to talk with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram, at Scott Petrek on Twitter. You can go to brownszone.com to see all about what's happening with our Cleveland Browns. What is happening? Scott, I thought the defense is what was going to give us a little bit of breathing room as the season was moving along, but that's where all the eyes and fingers are pointed this morning.
Yeah, to me, that was by far the biggest letdown of yesterday. You know, you're coming off playing Pittsburgh and Baltimore with Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, two guys that have won their Super Bowl, and then you're playing Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback, making his fourth NFL start. You know, the Colts don't have a lot of playmakers. It's kind of T.Y. Hilton, the receiver, and yet they let the Colts score four straight touchdowns, you know, in the first half. Give up 260 yards, and all of a sudden you're down 28-7, and then they couldn't dig out of the hole. So, you know, I thought they might have a chance to dominate defensively. That's been the whole goal, and in that, they go out and they were dominated. So I think that was a huge disappointment.
Scott, do you think it comes down to being out-coached, outplayed, or both?
Yeah, I think it's more outplayed. I'm not saying Greg Williams, the new defensive coordinator, is perfect by any means. But I think yesterday came down to more the cornerback. Jamar Taylor had a rough day trying to guard T.Y. Hilton. And, you know, the plan must not have been great because, you know, if you figure out a way, a lot of coaches can figure out a way to take away the other team's best weapon. And the Browns couldn't do it. Maybe Greg Williams had too much faith in Jamar Taylor, cornerback, and even Jabril Peppers, the rookie free safety, who had a big pass interference penalty, missed a tackle on the 61-yard touchdown for T.Y. Hilton. So it's probably fair to say it's a combination of both. But, you know, when you give up a huge day to Antonio Brown in the opener, you give up a huge day to T.Y. Hilton in week three, it at least makes you question also whether or not Joe Hayden should still be here. You know, I mean, he was a number one cornerback before they cut him, like 11 days before the season. So would they have fared better if, you know, if he was out there along with maybe Jamar Taylor? You know, it looks that way after 3 weeks, which makes you also question the front office along with the coaching staff and the players.
How much is this a Myles Garrett not being there factor? I mean, he was planned to be the person put in there. He was the top draft pick, so eyes were on him.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing, you know, they missed Myles Garrett for 3 weeks. They missed Jamie Collins yesterday. He's out with a concussion. And he's probably their best player on defense. And we haven't even seen Myles Garrett yet. So that makes a difference. The pass rush hasn't been what the pass rush has needed to be. But to me, that wasn't the biggest issue yesterday. I thought they got some pressure. Now, maybe they have to bring more blitzes than you would if you had Myles Garrett just by himself coming off the edge. But, you know, if you've never seen a guy play in the league like Myles Garrett, we don't know if he's going to affect the league. We're assuming he is because he's the number one pick in the draft. But, all, you know, it's interesting because, you know, these coaches always talk about next man up. Somebody else has to step up. But then when they don't get the performance they want, then a lot of times you use that as an excuse. And I know the players matter, but I'm not sure that not having Myles Garrett and or Jimmy Collins should mean – the Colts marched down the field for four straight touchdowns. The Colts didn't have Andrew Luck, their quarterback. They didn't have the center, Ryan Kelly, who might be their third best offensive player. So, you know, it kind of evens out, and then the Colts wound up beating your guys.
We're talking to Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can also follow him at Scott Petrek and also on the brownszone.com. Let's talk about the receivers. I kept, when I was listening to the game, it almost has it drop. I hear that. I watched some of it on television as well. Is it just getting contagious? Are we not finding somebody? Does he not have a go-to receiver that can help?
Probably all of the above. It starts with the fact that the receiving core never looked like it was going to be good. They brought in Kenny Britt. And he's been bad. He had a decent day yesterday, but the decent day is three catches, I think, for 54 yards, including a touchdown. He also had a drop. He also had a ball where it was in his hands, and then he let the defender knock it away. I don't think they're talented enough at receiver, and that's where it starts. And then the guys that are out there, either Deshaun Kizer has not spent a whole lot of time working with them because they added a guy like Cason Williams right before the season. Jordan Leslie was cut and just brought back. And then you got a guy like Ricardo Lewis who was starting in place of the injured Corey Coleman yesterday. It's his shot, his chance to go out there and make something of the opportunity. And he has three drops, including a deep one that could have gone for a touchdown. So I think it boils down to the guys are not talented enough, and when they're given the opportunities, they're not making the plays. And it's killing Deshaun Kizer. Not that he's been perfect by any stretch, but a rookie quarterback needs help around him, and the receivers aren't helping him. And then, you know, it hurts the team because they would have been in a much better position to win that game yesterday if the receivers had caught the six, seven, or eight balls they dropped, depending on how you're viewing each position, each specific play.
So, Scott, here we go. 0-3. Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3. What can we expect?
Well, you know, the Browns need to win these next couple of games. You know, I mean, Hugh Jackson's 1-18. And you don't hang around in this league a long time when you're 1-18 as a coach. So I thought yesterday was a winnable game, and they lose it. They come home for Cincinnati. The Jets visit after that. Those are two teams that are perceived to be bad. And the Browns are perceived to be bad. So they need to win a game. You know, Cincinnati took Green Bay to the brink yesterday. Aaron Rodgers needed a late touchdown to force overtime. So there's no way you can overlook the Bengals. They probably played a better game yesterday than the Browns have played in their three games. So it should be a close one. Hugh Jackson knows the Bengals as well as anybody. He coached down there for a while. So it's going to come down to who plays better during those 60 minutes. But you have to like the fact that if you're Cincinnati, they have Andy Dalton, who at least is more proven at quarterback than Deshaun Kizer is. And they have A.J. Green at receiver. And the Browns don't have anybody that comes close to A.J. Green as a playmaker on offense.
Where is Deshaun Kizer's trajectory right now? I mean, we were up and then we were down after last week. Is there progress? Is it sort of just one more game of experience and move on? What's his status, I guess, in regards to that?
I think it stabilized a little bit yesterday. Now, he threw the three interceptions, and that's concerning, and he's up to seven through three games. However, you know, one of the interceptions was a Hail Mary, so you have to disregard that. It's the last play of the game there on the two-yard line. He's throwing it up for grabs. So the two interceptions. One was a bad throw inside the red zone. I thought the receiver, and he had a little miscommunication, but Hugh Jackson blamed Kizer, and Kizer took the blame on himself. The next interception, Kenny Britt again is running it down the right seam, and Hugh Jackson said Kenny should have slowed down instead of running into the safety. So Kizer threw it as if Britt was going to slow down. The ball's behind him. It tips off his hands. It gets deflected. So that's another play where your receiver doesn't bail you out. And so that's at least one of those this year on the interception. So, you know, I thought Kizer showed toughness again, took some hits early and hung in. I like the fact that he led the comeback. They're down, you know, they're down 17, and he's able to lead two fourth-quarter touchdown drives. Now, the Colts had softened their coverage, but he's still able to do it. He still gave you a chance where if you recover an onside kick, you got a chance to force overtime or win a game with the Hail Mary. So I think there's been enough positives. Again, he just needs to be more accurate. And to me, that's going to be the biggest question with him, maybe throughout his career, but it's too early to say he can't improve the accuracy.
Speaking of accuracy, there's the great catch from Jordan Lewis in that game. Is that the new style of catching by receivers? It seems to work its way through
Jordan Leslie. Yeah, that was a heck of a catch. His first catch in the NFL, his first NFL game, and he makes that play. These guys are so talented. It's remarkable what they can do these days, how they can go up and contort their bodies, their hand-eye coordination. And they know if I get one hand on it, either the ball sticks or I can slow it down enough to corral it with both hands. It's fun to watch those kinds of plays.
Especially when they're happening for your team, more specifically, too. Greg?
Yesterday, Scott, we had the first female announcer for CBS, I guess, call an NFL game. Was there any buzz among the media types there about what history was made yesterday?
You know what? There wasn't. Beth Moens did one of the Monday night games in week one. So she got some more publicity there. It was the first time CBS had a female play-by-play announcer. It got a little buzz when it was announced. Probably unfortunately, everything yesterday besides the game was overshadowed by the anthem stuff and the response to President Trump's Friday remarks. So that all the off-field interest and buzz and discussion was all about that.
Right. Well, I enjoy the quote where Deshaun says, "I know for a fact that I am no SOB." So I thought that, to me, that was one of the better quotes coming out of the situation yesterday. Scott, we'll talk again next Monday, hopefully after a Browns win over those Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks.